The number one top fear was really not about their children, but about them. They worried, am I enough of a mom? Will I have enough money? Will I have enough wisdom? Will I have enough parenting skill? Will I have the emotional strength to be able to handle everything that is ahead? And, you know, with all the pressures, all the things that moms have to deal with, just in being a mom, it's really not surprising. But moms told us that's the thing they worry about the most, is themselves.
So what fear, especially if you're a mom, do you need to voice to get out into the open and into the light so you're not captive to worry and to anxiety? We're going to talk a little bit more today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly about how you can face those fears down and be a brave mom. That's, in fact, the title of the book by one of our guests, Sherry Surratt, who is the president of MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers International. And we also have Jean Daly. Jim, your beautiful wife, joining us as well.
We do. And, you know, when I looked at the book and read all the great preparation that the team did, I thought, Jean, it'd be good to have her perspective and being a mom of two boys. So I want to welcome both of you back to Focus on the Family. Mm-hmm. I so enjoyed the discussion yesterday. I know a lot of moms were helped with what both of you were saying, those fears that you face as a mom, sometimes in silence. You mentioned that last time, Sherry, that husbands often don't even know what is going on in the hearts and minds of their wives. And I thought that was really good. I wanted to pick up where we left off last time and talk about children not being perfect, that there isn't a formula. So often in the Christian community, we are looking desperately for that formula, that if we read in Proverbs every day at an early age, they'll have the wisdom they'll need to make the right choices. Mm-hmm. But then the teenage years hit and all of a sudden those choices aren't so wise, and we start filling ourselves with self-doubt. Moms particularly start feeling the weight of that, that the children aren't going in the direction they need to go. Talk about how a mom needs to look to the Lord and manage that.
Absolutely. You know, and I think I've talked with some moms who say, will say things like, oh, my child never lies, or my child would never do that. And I think, you know, children are human beings. And just as we make mistakes, our kids are going to mess up. Sometimes they're going to make huge messes, and sometimes they're going to, you know, make small mistakes. And I think we need to allow our children to do that. And, you know, the point of being a good mom, and one of the things I say is, there, of course, there is no perfect mom to achieve. There is no perfect standard. And that great moms don't happen on accident, but they do happen on purpose. And, you know, the deal about working to be a better mom, the point of that is not to produce a perfect child. The point of that is to be able to walk with your child through their mistakes and to be able to be real as a mom and admit to your child, you know what, I make mistakes too. And there have been times where I've done things that were not right. And here's what I do about that. And that is such a great thing that a mom can do, not panic when her child makes mistakes, but say, my child is human just like I am, and I'm going to be the kind of mom who's going to stand by them and walk through their mistakes.
Do you have a specific example where that happened with you and your children, your daughter, your sons?
Mm-hmm.
Was there something that took place that fear gripped you that—
Yeah, you know, this is just a small thing, but I think every mom faces this. I got called to school one day when my son was in an elementary school, and the teacher sat across the desk from my husband and I, and she said, well, I need to tell you that your son lied on this project that he was supposed to do for school, and each child was supposed to create a product that then they were supposed to develop a marketing plan to go with it. Our son had come to school and fabricated this big story of how he had made this particular type of sucker lollipop, and he had not made it. He had bought it, and he just contrived this big story. And, you know, children will do that. But I remember sitting across the desk thinking, I'm raising a liar.
Failure.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously this teacher thinks that I'm not the kind of mom who would talk to her child about being honest, and I don't know how to raise an honest child. It just began to go crazy in my head. And really, when you step back from that, children will tell lies. And the point is not to get them past ever being able to tell or telling a lie, but really kind of using that as a teaching moment to be able to sit with your child and say, why don't we tell lies in our family? Why is it important that we are honest? Mm. And to use that as a teaching moment. It's not a moment of failure. It's a moment of opportunity to be able to really pour into your child about the values that are important in your family.
Jean, how have you felt when that's happened with the boys, something like that? I mean, what does that make you feel like?
Well, and I sat here and laughed while Sherry told her story. And yet when a similar thing happened to us, it was really devastating for me, and I had the same feelings. I've failed. We've completely failed. Mm-hmm. And that incident, and it did have to do with lying as well, I think has really helped me, and probably the whole transition from elementary, our boys from elementary to junior high, has really helped me come to grips with that I do not have control over their lives and nearly as much control as I did when they were younger, and that they're human, and we live in an imperfect world, and I'm imperfect and they're imperfect, and really learning to help them walk through that. But showing our kids, I've done a much better job in the last couple of years. I've been thrust into that of having to talk to them about my imperfections. Well, you can't hide them, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Kids don't believe I'm perfect anymore.
It, yeah.
But Sherry, let me ask you this, though. In the marriage again, when those things are taking place, you can be hard on each other because you start, you know, kind of checking, where are we not doing a better job so our kids understand these things?
Yeah.
Talk about the caution there that you got to be careful not to attack each other.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, that the right goal is in mind, and that's the long snapshot, I think you called it.
It is. It really is. You know, on the way home in the car from that incident after meeting with our son's teacher, you know, I was taking a little bit different path than Jeff was. I was internalizing it and saying, how could I not have known? How could I not have seen that my child is a liar? You know, and Jeff kind of just as in the conversation kind of let me express it. But then he said, well, you know, yay, he's human. Now, what are we going to do about that? And it was wonderful to be able to let my husband take a different kind of viewpoint from me and to help talk me down off that crazy ledge of, you know, going where I really didn't need to go with my thoughts and blaming myself. And sometimes in a marriage, it is very tempting to be able to say, you should have picked up on that, or you should have done this, or don't handle it this way. And I think in the heat of the moment, it's really easy to do that. I think giving yourself a moment to pause, to step back and admit, you know what, this isn't the end of the world. We're going to get through this, and we're going to take the path together to be able to talk to him. And by the time we talked with Mike at the end of the day, we kind of formed a unified front and to say, no, we're the Surratts, and this is what we believe, and this is why we do this.
Sherry, you talk in your book, Brave Mom, about the fear moms have that they'll lose their identity. Mm-hmm. I found that one a little more interesting and perhaps a little more difficult to understand as a man. Help me better understand why moms would have that fear that by having a child, you're losing your identity.
You know, I think being a mom can be all-encompassing. From the moment that baby is born, you are thinking about every need of that child. And what happens is sometimes you forget the needs of your husband, you forget the needs of yourself. One of the things that we encourage moms to do is to remember who you were before you had that child, the things that you love to do. You need to go back and give yourself time to be able to do those every once in a while.
What would be an example of that?
You know, I talked about in the book that one of the things I loved to do before I had kids was I used to love to just go and walk in a pretty park and take time to look at the flowers, smell at the flowers, and even maybe sit on a swing and swing. Huh. And so as I was writing this book, I thought about that. I thought, what do I do that I used to love to do way back before I had children, and why don't I do those things anymore? Just as I was driving home in the car, I passed a park. I pulled over. I saw some swings and I thought, I loved to swing when I was younger. I'm going to take a moment and swing. Well, I found out a couple of things. My rear end is bigger than it was before. And so it was a little harder to fit into that swing. But here's something else I realized as the wind blew through my hair and I got back in touch with that thing that I used to love to do, even as a little girl, it reminded me of who I am, of who God created me to be. Yep, God created me to be a mom and a wife, but he also created me to be Sherry. And I can be a better mom when I reconnect with the things that are Sherry.
Jean, let me ask you, though, how practically, I mean, I've watched you every day with the boys, the busy nature of motherhood. Mm-hmm. With what Sherry has said, going back to when our boys were 3 and 5, could you imagine carving out that little bit of time to go do that?
Well, it is really difficult. It is really difficult to do that. I know there were a couple of things. I didn't do all the things that I really should have to have taken care of myself, but I at least did some things. Working out for me was important. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I think, oh, I should have gone to a club with other people, with other women. That would have been beneficial. But at least I was getting some exercise in. That was important. One of the really life-giving things that I did was mops. Mm-hmm. But it is important. And yes, it's difficult. I mean, there were days, I do remember days where I didn't shower. I remember those days where your goal was just to get a shower in. And yet it is so important to try and remember what it is that you love doing. And if it's, you know, something intellectual, then just trying to read a little bit of a book or a magazine or going out hiking.
But is it a feeling of selfishness that if you do those things, you're being selfish because your baby is demanding your time and I've got to give the time to that child?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that MOPS talks a lot about. And that's one of the values of being in a MOPS group is we talk about you need to invest in you, in who you are, so that you can be a better mom.
Sherry, in your book, Brave Mom, you did a lot of research, which I appreciate, because that validates what you know in your heart to be true. But then when you hear other moms expressing it and saying, me too, it really does bring so much light into these questions that are hidden in a lot of moms' hearts. Mm-hmm. In that research, you found that moms who had the least fear exhibited at least a few of the 7 habits of better moms. Now, I don't know if that's the definition, what a better mom is, but just name a few of those 7 habits. That sounds like an attainable number. What are the 7 things moms should be aiming for?
Yeah, we asked moms who deal with fear, and every mom does. What are the things that you do that you feel like really help you overcome fear? And they named 7 things that were in common with these moms who feel like they really have developed good strategies. And the first one is to form a SWAT team of support. And we kind of borrowed
SWAT
that. Yeah,
team.
A SWAT team.
Good.
Yeah, we borrowed that from a military term, special weapons and tactics. And so moms that deal with fear, they said, you know what? We don't just sit in our fear. We don't just let ourselves be overcome with it. We form a SWAT team of support, meaning we look for people in our lives that will help us. So a calm voice, someone who can pray with them, a mentor mom who can help them really develop stronger skills. And it's interesting because these moms who said that this was effective for them, they didn't find just one person. They found a whole team. So some of these were moms who were not married and they needed a good supporting partner in their life. Maybe it's a parent or another mentor voice, someone who was calming, someone who knew how to pray, someone who they could run to any hour of the day to say, I'm freaking out over this. And it would be a voice who would say, okay, well, let's talk it through. The second one was to develop a spiritual rhythm that works for you. You know, a lot of times young moms especially will say, I do not have time to spend an hour every day reading my Bible or going through a Bible study. That's okay. And I think what moms said to this was they just would carve out maybe 5 minutes a day to be able to just sit quietly with the Lord. Maybe they didn't have time to crack open their Bible, but they would sit there and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? God, give me wisdom. Give me courage to face whatever is ahead in this day. I think the important thing in that step is to find the rhythm that works for you.
Mm.
And I'd like to jump in and speak to that. I know that staying spiritually connected, if you can, even through Bible studies, is really important. And if your local church has a Bible study opportunity for moms where they provide childcare. But I recall I got involved with one of those Bible studies, and I remember sitting there, and it was one of the very intensive Bible studies, and that required an hour of homework a day. And I was not at a place. I had two little children. Mm-hmm. And that can make you feel guilty.
That added weight to your guilt.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, and I chose not to do that Bible study, and I'm really grateful for that. And instead, I found other ones that were just
more
other
manageable.
Ones that were very attainable
yeah.
and really didn't require homework, because you don't have time to do that when you have young yeah. children.
That's a great point. And I think that, you know, that step of finding a spiritual rhythm that works for you, get realistic about yourself. Don't put shame or blame on yourself, but just do something. Start small, 5 minutes a day of just praying or reading just one scripture verse. I talked with a mom who had a favorite verse. She wrote it on a card, and that's what she would do in the morning every day, is she would read that scripture on that card, yeah. and she would say, God, I'm going to live. I'm going to walk in this verse today. And then she would go on about her day.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Jean, because I think, again, women with that nurturing guilt combination, they want to do more. And when they can't do more, then you feel guilty. It's mm-hmm. a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And just set the goal where it's attainable. Mm-hmm. I appreciate what you've said there. 3 and 4, we kind of covered, which was invest in who they were before they were moms mm-hmm. And in themselves, get that margin that they need. 5 caught my attention, which was keep their sense of humor. Because that usually is the first thing to go, because you're stressed out and nothing's funny. And I like when Jean laughs at my jokes, actually. So how do you encourage a mom with all the pressure to still laugh at those maybe so funny jokes that your husband might say?
You know, it's really important to laugh. And there's something physically that happens in our body when we do. And we can become so uptight as moms that we become a person that isn't fun to be around. That's not the kind of mom we want to be for our kids. We want our kids to see joy in us as a mom. And that means you need to relax. You need to laugh. When things happen that are frustrating, you need to be able to step back and sometimes just laugh at it.
That is good, Sherry. And I think that's the core to every relationship, having that sense of humor. It's important. Don't be mm-hmm. silly, but have fun in life. Yeah. I think God gave us that sense of humor. I think it's part of His image mm-hmm. that we're made in. Mm-hmm. I think He has a sense of humor. 6, you said invest in their marriage. This is a big one. And I think we should spend a moment here, because I think when you read articles in the New York Times, Washington Post, there's a phenomenon occurring. It's called the graying of divorce. Mm-hmm. When kids are leaving the home, children are 18, 19, and they're leaving the home, there's nothing left in common with mm-hmm. the husband and wife. And a lot of women are the ones filing for divorce. Talk about that, why investing in the marriage remains critical, I think the most critical thing, because your kids are going to go. Mm-hmm. Your spouse is sticking around.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the best gifts I can give my children is a strong marriage. And just like great moms don't happen on accident, they do happen on purpose. Great marriages, I don't think, happen on accident. They do happen on purpose. When we invest in our husbands, we are giving our children a gift. We truly are. That firm foundation of the household is the core upon which then we can parent well. And it's so tempting to spend all of my time focusing on my kids. They're the ones who are the loudest, and you know, they're screaming for attention. And in that, my husband can get lost.
Well, and I think society today, I mean, really encourages us to pour only into our children.
Yes.
So we really need to fight that. Still am fighting that on a daily basis. It's gotten a little easier as the boys have gotten older, but I really struggled with that, that you are now this mother and it is all encompassing, and in a very, a beautiful way, but also, you know, an overwhelming way, but that's all you really care about. And you know that the order should be God, husband, children. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know, it's children, God, husband. That often is what it is. And we have to fight against that and really work to keep that relationship going. I think women need to, mothers of young children really need to cut themselves some slack, as do their husbands when, I mean, really with the infants, right after the baby is born. But I read in your book where you have a recommendation of after the kids go to bed, and yes, you're exhausted. You just want to go to bed. Mm-hmm. But even spending some time playing cards together. And I really liked that because I thought, wow, that's great. It's not sitting down and saying, let's read this marriage devotional together, and where that could potentially cause some friction, or you're right. Playing cards.
Do something fun.
And it is fun, and yet you're talking to one another during that time. Mm-hmm. But I also enjoyed over the years with Jim and I think it is helpful to read, spend a few minutes together, reading some devotional, something together that's tying your relationship.
Yeah. And Jeff and I, we love to laugh together. And I think when the kids were younger, it was harder to find time to do that because we were stressed out about money. We were stressed out about the kids' behavior and the tantrums. I think a couple of things that we did well was we spent a few minutes every day. We called it couch time, just sitting on the couch, talking to each other. I think you also need to remind yourself of the couple you were before those kids came into your house. You loved each other. You had fun together. It's important to try to carve out those moments every once in a while when you get back to that.
Yeah.
And remind yourself that you and your husband are friends.
Mm, that is so good to remember. Sherry, that leads to the last one, which was parent with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. Just touch on that. How to keep that perspective. Because mm-hmm. you can grind each other as husband and wife to a pulp if you don't have that perspective that, you know what, we're parenting to launch these kids. If you live in the snapshot, as you called it in your book, you're in trouble.
Yeah, we talk at MOPS about a snapshot versus a portrait. And it's so easy with the things that happen in one day, a tantrum, a fight, something bad at school, your child gives you, drops a bomb on you about big news or something like
that. A bad grade.
Exactly. The snapshot of that day can make you think that life is horrible, that this child is never going to be a worthwhile human being, that you're a lousy mom. We encourage moms instead to think about the portrait of your family that God is continuing to paint. Mm. So every day he is adding more paint to that portrait. He is completing it. Your family is a work in progress. Don't make snap decisions based on how you are feeling today about the snapshot that you could take right today with your Polaroid camera. Continue on with the thought of the portrait that God is forming of our family, and he is not going to leave us. He promises us over and over in his word, he has a big plan, but you're not going to see that whole big plan today. And hang in there and keep going. Moms, be faithful. Keep doing just your best, even though it will never be perfect, because God is continuing to paint that portrait of your family.
Sherry, that is so well said. This has been fun. I think people have heard our chuckles, John.
I hope so.
But to have Sherry Surratt, the author of Brave Mom, and my own wonderful wife, Jean, here to talk about those pressures of motherhood, those feelings of inadequacy, the guilt that is so often prevalent for moms. I hope you have been helped, and I would strongly suggest you get Sherry's book, Brave Mom. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And I'll see you for dinner.
Yes.
Well, what an encouraging conversation we've had here the last couple of days. And if you face any kinds of fears as a mom, I trust that you found it to be helpful. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
Sherry Surratt has given us advice that is wise and attainable, and it's been so valuable. I particularly noted two things that Sherry said. The first being, remember who you were before you had that child, the things that you loved to do. You need to go back and give yourself time to be able to do those things every once in a while. And the second point that stood out for me was when we invest in our husbands, we're giving our children a gift. That firm foundation of the household is the core upon which we then can parent well. And it's so tempting to spend all of our time focusing on our kids that our husbands get lost. Our resource on offer is the book by Sherry Surratt titled Brave Mom. Sherry shares honestly and openly about the fears every mom struggles with. Brave Mom gives moms everything they need to leave fear behind and live the admittedly messy life of parenting with confidence and joy. Look out for this resource on our website at safamily.co.za or call us on 031-716-3300. And if you missed the program yesterday and you want to hear the first part of this broadcast, you'll find it on our website as well, or download the Focus on the Family Africa podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.